I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
The journey? It starts here, at your local ballpark. On the fields where dreams are born. Every swing, every step, every moment, it all counts. The fundamentals kids learn today, they build the skills and confidence for tomorrow. Pitch, hit, and run. Find a local competition near you and sign up at pitchhitrun.com. Let the journey begin. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Midnight straight up here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Did a lot of Yankees in the first hour or so. We'll switch the conversation now to the Mets, the Knicks. And as always, you know, after hours is a safe place. I am certainly positive, Tommy. And you're getting positive, Tommy, in more moderation these days when it comes to the Mets. But it's always an open forum if you want to air your frustrations, if you want to air your anger, if you want to air your sorrow, upsetness in this season, in this franchise, whether it's upper management, ownership, whatever the case may be. It's a safe place. You can do that. You can always do that. We may disagree. You may not buy into the positivity that I'm trying to sell you. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it's an open forum for all my fellow Met fans out there to call up and get whatever's on their mind and in their heart out there into the radio sphere. So feel free to do that at 888-808-1019. Now, as far as the managerial situation, look, I wasn't on the air on Friday. It was part of my weekend. You know, the final after hours of the week, Thursday into Friday morning. And by morning, I mean 2 a.m., which I guess could be morning for some and late night for others. But I woke up on Friday, not morning, but afternoon, because I do work late. So right around noon. And I turn over and I look at my phone and I see that the Mets have fired Carlos Mendoza. And my initial reaction, obviously, was just to think about Mendy and think about the run that he had in 2024 and how he should have won manager of the year. And Pat Murphy got it. And the Mets beat Pat Murphy in October. And I thought Carlos Mendoza was off to the races and was going to be the manager for a very, very long time. I thought he was a big part of that run. And then obviously the Mets get off to the great start, you know, through most of the first couple months of the season. And then the second half didn't go as good as the first half. And the Mets missed the postseason. And then here we are, not even at the All-Star break, and Mendoza has been relieved of his duties. So just wanted to sort of tie the bow on that when it came to Carlos Mendoza. That's where I was at mentally on Friday. And once I was done with that, my mind went to what's next. You know, who's going to be the next manager of the Mets? And for me, it's one name. You start there. And if that manager doesn't end up signing on the dotted line, we could have other conversations about it. But as far as it, and where I'm coming from, to me, it's Alex Cora. That's the guy. You know, this reminds me a lot of Harbaugh being out there for the Giants. And the Giants were a team that needed somebody like John Harbaugh in their locker room, a CEO, adult in the room, somebody that could come in, rule with an iron fist, a taskmaster, a guy with a great track record, a Super Bowl winning coach, a ton of wins, not only in the regular season, a ton of playoff wins, especially on the road. Culture builder, program builder, all the superlatives that you would want at the top of your team and franchise. And I think the same thing applies for Alex Cora. You know, highly regarded, World Series winner, great track record, knows the market, has managed superstars before, not going to be intimidated by the bright lights and the expectations of New York. I don't think he's going to be intimidated about anything that's thrown his way. He obviously has ties to the organization, having been a player here. So I think he makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. But it's going to be on the Mets to do what the Giants did, and that is pull out all the stops, you know, full court press, so to speak, wine and dine, because Alex Cora is going to obviously have a lot of offers. And we don't know all the jobs that are going to be available. We do know the Mets are going to have an availability because David Stearns put a stop to that on Friday, thinking that Andy Green might do something here to win the job. I think they like, they being the Mets, Andy Green as far as being in his back to his role that he had before he stepped in as interim manager. And David Stearns made that very, very clear on Friday that that would be the case. So obviously, based on that, the Mets are going to hire a manager in the offseason. Now, I've talked about David Stearns and his future a lot on this show. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think his future is quite secure with the Mets, and he basically told you that on Friday, having conversations with Steve Cohen. He and David talk often, and David Stearns says, listen, I basically was told, you know, I'm safe. I'm sure we're going to hear that from Steve Cohen when he decides to speak, which according to Steve on Twitter on Sunday, it's going to be soon. So I would expect to hear from the Mets owner at some point, and I'm happy to hear that. Obviously, myself and others on this radio station gave our pleas to Steve Cohen to meet the media. I think it's a very important thing to do as owner. Not all the time. You know, there are times where, hey, I don't need to hear from you. But I think in this situation, especially considering that a lot of my Met brethren are pissed, unhappy, worried, upset, anxious, hearing from the owner, not everybody, but hearing from the owner, I think will ease a lot of those emotions for my fellow Met fans. And listen, it's open season on the Mets right now, big time. You know, I feel like at Leonidas and 300, if I even mention one thing positive, like all I said yesterday was, you know, watching the Mets outfield is a positive thing because Ewing and Soto and Ben, and people still came after me. It's like, okay, whatever. All right, honestly. Go do something else. Go watch Murder, She Wrote with your mother or something. I really don't know what to tell you because I stand by that statement, and I don't think there's anything wrong with injecting a little bit of positivity, especially when it's open season on this franchise right now. And the record is what it is. The season is off to the first couple of months that it's off to. They've already fired the manager. You know they're going to hire a new manager in the offseason because they've already told you Andy Green is not going to keep the job. He's going to go back to his old position. I think David Stearns is sticking around. He was hired to complete a job, and I believe he will do that. I could see, although I, let me even rephrase that. I am certain that, not only can I see it, I am certain that the Mets are going to hire a general manager in the offseason to work with David Stearns. And as far as the analytical stuff, which I know is a hot button issue, and I fight, you know, in my group chat, and I don't want to pull a Beningo here, but I don't think they'll mind. So in my group chat with the likes of names you've heard of, Lopresti, Jastrzemski, Marash, and others. To be fair, Sean is, you would think he would lean in on the analytics stuff. He really doesn't as much. It's actually, JJ's the one that constantly, I don't know if he actually says it in public, but he certainly says it in text about the analytics stuff. Not a big fan of it. But I point out the other teams in baseball that are analytically driven. One of them is three games up on his baseball team. So perhaps he should, you know, be a little bit softer to analytics. And the Dodgers are the do more analytics than anybody. I know they have the talent too, but they've won back-to-back championships. The Brewers, who are just, you could write it down every year, they're going to win the division. It is amazing to me that people are just like, David Stearns, oh, this isn't Milwaukee. You can't get it done here in New York. It's not Milwaukee. But Milwaukee's really good. You would think the success of Milwaukee would actually give people confidence in David Stearns because he has done it before. It's not like Steve Cohen or others are trying to sell you on somebody who doesn't have a track record. I understand that pressure and expectations are different. Definitely. There's no pressure in Milwaukee, or very little pressure. You know, obviously it's very low on the media rankings, you know, New York being one, Milwaukee very low on that ranking, but not a lot of news outlets. It just doesn't have the media. Nowhere does, but Milwaukee's obviously nowhere near New York. But I don't think that David Stern strikes me as a guy that even affects him. You know, he's out there, whether you like it or not, every couple weeks with a smile on his face answering questions, or at least attempting to, you know, he'll say something after you ask him a question. Maybe sometimes he doesn't answer the question fully, but then, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's sometimes the game. And you can always ask a follow-up on that. You can press him on it. All good, because really when it boils down to it, and I think I speak for all my fellow Met fans, even the ones that are angry with David Stearns when he smiles, you don't care if he smiles like Buddy the Elf if the team is winning divisions and winning championships. That's really what it all boils down to. I mean, Leon Rose is essentially in witness protection. Now you're seeing his face more, but these last couple of years, he was just Leon Rose, really? Does he even exist? And when you're building a championship team, though, and once you have that parade down the canyon of heroes, and you successfully turn the Knicks into the toast of the town and they're no longer LOL Knicks, you can go back into hiding and nobody will care.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's a bottom line town, New York. Win. Win. The only example of somebody that wins and still gets grief is Cashman. That's it. Because he doesn't win enough or the big one all the time, so he is somehow criticized. But if he was an executive of any other franchise, yeah, there would be detractors, but not to the level that it is with the Yankees. Fans. But you got to win. That's really the bottom line. But I continue to see Milwaukee year in and year out, and I go, gee, this is the blueprint. This is the blueprint. I understand frustrations. I understand aggravation. I understand you're upset. I understand you feel like, hey, this season ever going to get going here? Is this a lost season? Am I not going to have a summer here with my baseball team? What is going to happen in the future? And the idea of Alonso and the what Pete represents, I think, is also bogging everybody down where it's going backwards. It's not going forwards. So the mind goes to what this team used to be. And look, they didn't win multiple championships with the guys they got rid of. They didn't even get to a World Series. So I think it's important to take that into account. I think you always have to have high expectations. And when they're not met, you can be angry. You can be frustrated. But I also think you have to keep things in perspective, too, when you compare to what was, to what is, and what we all, some of us hope, some of us believe, things are going to be. Now, I know some people have kind of turned on Steve Cohen. I have not. I still think he's going to do whatever it takes to win. You don't become a billionaire without a massive ego. He did not get into this business for the Mets to finish in last place year in and year out. I can promise you that. You could bring up all the casinos in the world. He could turn Citi Field into a casino, but he still would want to win. You think Steve Cohen likes going into hiding? You think he likes the fact that his baseball team is not performing up to the expectations and level that he would want them to be and the rest of us would want it to be? Of course not. So he's going to still use all of his power and his money to get this team where it needs to be, but it's not always about money. It's about spending money wisely. It's about building your farm system. And this is what I always said about Cohen and Stearns. I love the marriage because, you, on one hand, you have the billionaire owner that wants to spend, and then you have the GM / president of baseball operations who did come from a place where there weren't a lot of resources, and you had to build a team without it, essentially. So I like the idea of that marriage. Now, maybe perhaps right now, it's a situation where they're trying to do both, and perhaps that is why we got what we've gotten this year so far. Maybe it's just injuries. Who knows? But I do think they will get their rhythm. And they were very successful in 2024, which I get you don't want to hear in 2026. But if you're going to bring up Pete, I can bring up 24. And there's still a lot of names and players on this team that are from a past regime or that were kept, let alone the guys that were let go, but that were kept. So there's still that weird kind of like, all right, this is not the finished, polished product in all likelihood that you're going to see. And this is what I think from their mindset, from Stearns, and even, I think Cohen is more just, hey, get me wins. Fanny's in the seats, Mets winning championships. I mean, that's bottom line. You're a businessman. That's what you're focused on. Where Stearns and his team are more about, okay, how are we going to get to that point? And maybe this is like eating your broccoli when you're a kid, and I know a lot of people don't like broccoli. I hated broccoli, but and I didn't eat a lot of broccoli, but now that I look down and I don't have a six-pack of abs, I wish I ate my broccoli when I was younger. Maybe this is a, hey, eat your broccoli and eventually you'll have a six-pack. And once you get a six-pack, it's hard to lose the six-pack. So you'll have a six-pack for a very long time. And that's what the Mets want. They want a six-pack. And even though right now at times I feel like the Met fan wants to drink a six-pack, when the Mets actually get six-pack abs, they'll keep those six-pack abs and they'll be consistent winners year in and year out. That is the plan. That is the destination. And I, for one, feel confident about them getting to that destination. That's why after the games, and people just seem to be in such a tizzy about this. It should be a case study, the positive Tommy tweets after games. I mean, it's just, I've often wondered the people that crash out in the comments, and I know Twitter, it's not the radio audience, but I'll explain it. So when the Mets win, I say something nice, and everybody, oh, great, yay, awesome, awesome. When the Mets lose, people just crash out in the comments, and I wonder out loud who those people are. Are they Yankee fans? Are they angry Met fans? Are they just bad faith accounts? Are they bots? I mean, they just crash out. All I'm saying is I'm positive the Mets will turn things around. Is that really a reason to go nuts every time I say that? I'm positive the Mets will turn it around. I'm positive the Mets will turn things around. I don't see the harm in saying that. I don't see how that's an incorrect thing to say either. In fact, I think it's 100% factual that the Mets will, in fact, turn things around. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But yeah, when it comes to Alex Cora, much like with Harbaugh, the Mets need to pull out all the stops. They need to wine and dine, and they need to get this guy to sign on the dotted line. He is my top choice. There are other intriguing names out there. Like the Pujols situation, I think, is intriguing. Because whenever there's... I like the idea of, hey, it's an unknown. He could be amazing. We don't know. Sometimes when you have managers that... And look, Mike Brown had a bunch of stops, came to the Knicks, and finally won a championship. So it can be done. And obviously somebody like a Harbaugh or Cora who have a great track record, you're always going to want to get your hands on. But somebody that has really got almost a blank canvas, it's interesting because you could be hiring the next great manager. I mean, Albert Pujols could be the next great manager in baseball. There's no way to have a take on it one way or the other. Like, I can't come on the radio and say, Albert Pujols will be a horrible manager. Based on what? What am I basing it on? Well, great players never make great managers, okay? Until a great player makes a great manager. The heck do I know? And Albert Pujols was a great player, legendary player. But I can't come on the air either and say, Albert Pujols is going to be a bad manager. It's going to be bad. And I can't say, he's going to be a great manager. There's no track record. There's nothing to go off of. It would just be either blind optimism or gut instinct or just, hey, I'm going to say he's going to be a bad manager because I haven't seen it. There's no track record. Therefore, I'm just going to assume he's going to be bad. But I have no idea. None of us do. And that to me is, there is some intrigue there. Because you could be hiring the next great manager. And obviously he has a wonderful relationship with the star player, which you want to keep the star player happy. Not that if there's a manager there that isn't great friends with the star player, you're somehow in trouble as a team. But it's certainly not a bad thing if they're close. But yeah, I find Pujols intriguing because he could be great. He could be great. And I don't know if Pujols is necessarily on everybody's radar. Like Cora, you know people are going to be lining up for him. Phillies, unless they win a championship with Mattingly, we'll see how far they go. But if Mattingly is relieved of his duties, the Phillies are going to be all in on Cora. I don't know how the managerial carousel here is going to go, meaning I don't know who's going to be fired. I don't know all the availabilities at the end of the year, but let's say there's five or six openings. I would imagine the majority of those teams are going to want Alex Cora because he is the best candidate based on track record. Also, in his prime as a manager, he's going to be highly sought after. Pujols, really, it boils down more to, number one, he's been open about wanting the job. His relationship with Juan Soto is a big factor. And like I said, you can't sit here. I mean, you can, but you can't back it up with anything. You can't say, he's going to be great. He's going to be awful. No idea. Same thing with Leon Rose when he was hired. It was one of those hires where you're like, okay, this is outside the box. Not that Albert Pujols is outside the box, but the point is that he doesn't have a resume that you can look at other than the World Baseball Classic. So he hasn't managed in the big leagues. But Leon Rose was an agent. So it was one of those hirings where it's like, ooh, okay. This is a little, maybe this will be great. No idea. And it ended up being better than great. So I'm intrigued by Pujols. And I'm also intrigued on the general manager situation. I'm just, Carlos Beltran's going to be part of this organization in a role. He could be the manager too. I mean, it could go that route as well. If given the choice, I would think Carlos would go general manager over manager because you're less under the microscope. You're less under the eye day in and day out and the scrutiny. Plus, you'd be working with David Stearns, who we already know is under the microscope big time. So Carlos Beltran, who is, at least for my generation, I can't speak for everybody, but I love Carlos Beltran. And I never, I mean, Adam Wainwright ended up being a great pitcher. It was a nasty pitch. He took a strike three. I mean, things happen. Certainly you don't want that to happen, but things happen. And he obviously deserves everything he's getting this summer as far as Hall of Fame, number retired, all that. One of the best center fielders to ever play baseball. So we know what he is as a player. He's obviously well-respected around the league. We know the Mets wanted him to be their manager. So I could certainly see them having interest again in wanting him to be their manager. But I am certain that Beltran will be part of this organization. Now, as far as the Yankees, which we did a lot in the first hour or so, you can always go back on the Odyssey app, the Rewind, we podcast everything, the whole deal. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. And despite this June swoon, which is to be expected. I mean, this happens every year. It's like going into the haunted house. You know something's going to jump out and scare you. Or I guess they don't really do haunted houses as much as they used to do. What do they call them now? Scream parks or whatever they are? When you go into the, you walk around and people jump out and you scream. I think they're called scream parks. But you kind of, if you've gone on a ride like that enough times, you know, all right, this is the part where they jump out and they scare me. This is June. Oh, the Yankees are scary in a bad way. But you know, at the end, you're going to get some ice cream, some cotton candy. And if you're there with your girl, maybe some smooches after. So you wait for October to get your smooches. You know the Yankees are going to heat up in August and September. Plus, they're banged up right now. So despite the awful play and the bad defense and the bad pitching and the bad offense, and they certainly miss their guys that are out, you know, headlined by Aaron Judge, and maybe some of the leadership with Judge and Stanton not being out there. And we'll see what happens with Jazz. He's in concussion protocol right now after a nasty collision with Dominguez's biceps. But I'm not a Yankee fan, but my feeling on this team is they are the best team in the American League. They're banged up right now. And whenever Aaron Boone puts on that Yankee uniform as the manager, his teams struggle in June compared to other months. They get off to hot starts, check. They struggle in June, check. They heat up in August and September. I believe that will be a check. And they get to October and they fall short. I think they're getting to the World Series this year. They better. I think the Yankees will be, and I'll be at the forefront of that because I thought the run it back was a major mistake. And I think if they fall short of the World Series, it shows you that the running it back was not the right thing to do. They should have changed it up a little bit. But I expect them to get to the World Series. I do. I don't see the team or the, I just, if I had to, for the sake of the conversation, it would be Tampa, but that would only be if they had home field because the Trop is a little bit of a nightmare for the Yankees. And look, the Rays, good manager, really good manager. They put the ball in play. They have speed. They play small ball, and it could give the Yankees fits, especially if they don't have all their ducks in a row. And they're kicking the ball around, and the fundamentals aren't there, and the timely hitting isn't there, and that could absolutely be a problem for them, Tampa, especially if Tampa has home field. And I thought Tampa, the wheels were falling off of them a couple weeks ago, and maybe they were going to go quietly into the night, but they've rebounded nicely. They have played very well in their last 10 games as the Yankees are going down, the Rays are going up, and all of a sudden, Tampa's back in first place with a 3-game lead in the loss column. And much like last year with Toronto, these head-to-head matchups between the Yankees and Rays are going to be extremely important. So far, the Rays have had the better of the Yankees, 4-1 in the season series. And if it's going to be a tight race, you obviously want that tiebreaker. So these upcoming games, whenever they are on the schedule between the Yankees and Tampa, it is important for the Yankees to get those wins. You know, in the regular season, you could say some series don't matter, but those ones will matter for sure. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Bob in Keyport here on After Hours. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, what's going on, Tommy? Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Yeah, there's something that I thought Boone was talking about in the press conference. He didn't. I want to know what your thoughts are on it. Mm-hmm. In the third inning, Austin Wells had an at-bat. just a great leg kick in that at bat. I want to know what you thought about that. It was on a swing and miss. He didn't hit the ball, but it was just a great leg kick.
Yeah, and I think I think when you think of leg kicks, you certainly think of the Rockettes. You certainly think of Austin Wells, and nobody really knows how to put lipstick. Well, I guess two people. I guess Aaron Boone. And maybe some people would accuse Positive Tommy this as well. But yeah, I thought the leg kick there was brilliant. Maybe the result wasn't there, but the form was perfect. It's like when you hit a golf shot and the ball goes, 60 yards to the right. You say, that was a heck of a swing, except you're not on the fairway that you're playing on. You're on, three holes to the right. But yeah, I thought the leg kick was awesome, and Aaron Boone obviously was a huge fan of it.
Yeah, have a good night.
Yeah, well, Bob's usually got a bunch of material. I'm surprised. Bob usually throws a few at me. He's been a little off lately. Bob's usually got a great call. He'll throw a couple at me and maybe two or three. That one I thought was kind of the warm up the crowd. I thought that was we're going to warm up the crowd with that one, and then we're going to hit him with a couple of others there. But yes, when Bob calls, for those of you trying to figure out what was going on there, this is the satirical comedy, or at least attempt at comedy entertainment portion of the program, not to be taken seriously. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation here on After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Got you for another 90 minutes. And then Allison Tron comes your way at that time. Mark is in Newark here on The Fan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Loogie. What's going on? It's so good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Yeah, that other caller is really putting me under pressure right now to make some really, really good points on your show. So here
any,
I am,
don't,
I guess.
Don't feel any pressure. Bob is a frequent caller, but I trust that you can match and exceed his call.
Here, Tommy, listen to me. The Yankee infield right now with McMahon at third, Wells as your catcher, Volpe at short, and Jazz at second base. When it comes to hitting good pitching, I'm talking about, yeah, they can make mistakes. They're very good at that. And if you're a major league hitter, you're good at that.
Yes.
But I'm talking about grinding out at bats. Is this probably, I don't know, in my opinion, I'm saying I'm a Yankee fan for 10 years, this is probably the most pathetic four set of infielders I've ever seen in my entire life. And the fact that they justify it and they give excuses to it and answer up to it is so un-Yankee-like. Like, it drives me crazy. And then also, everyone's like talking about how like they have to keep Lombard. Lombard is the future. When you hear a player is major league ready when it comes to his defense, but not his hitting, it's like, okay, yeah, so he's a great defender. Like, what's that going to do for you?
Well, I think about Spencer Jones, where his defense is there, but offensively, at least at this level, it's not there right now. And he was pinch hit for in a tight game on Sunday night, so that tells you all you need to know about what the Yankees feel about his offensive production right now. I thought you hit on a great point there. When you get to October, when you get to the postseason, you're going to face, for the most part, elite pitching, both as starters and relievers. And yes, you have Judge, who has his issues in October as well, and you got Bellinger, who's had his issues in October. Stanton's obviously been phenomenal. But when you think about the infield, yeah, it's going to be tough for them to get hits off of great pitching because they struggle off of bad pitching sometimes. I mean, look at some of their averages. So it's a concern. I get that. I think the Yankees are going to add multiple bats, though, at the deadline.
But, Tommy, let me just one more point on this. Obviously, okay, you want to know if you could survive with, let's say, one position being weak. This is just not the Yankees that I grew up with. Now, let me just, one more point on Cashman when it comes to being aggressive at the deadline. Every year, right, what do we hear on the radio? He's going to make moves, he's going to be aggressive, and he's good at that. When was the last time Cashman took a swing for the top-tier name?
Yeah.
He's always getting these middle-tier guys.
A swing, or when did he connect? A connect, you mean.
When did he connect?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been so long. Yeah, he makes some nice little moves, and last year he brought McMahon into play third, and their third base situation was horrendous before that. But that's all they do. They have to make a big, gigantic move that's going to actually appease the fan base. I'm so sick of the same lineup with the same strikeouts against good pitching. They have to get hitters that grind at bats. Give me a Stephen Kwan. I know he's not having the greatest season, but he gives you a tough at bat. There's maybe one or two hitters in the entire lineup of nine hitters that give you tough at bat. Even Judge flails against good pitching most of the time. Right. These guys look overmatched. Jazz. I could go through the entire lineup, 1 through 9. It's pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you? I don't know if you want to count Jazz as a big swing.
Jazz is the top.
Like, so that obviously they traded for him a couple years ago at the deadline. I mean, I think back to like Benintendi or Rizzo or Montas. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Benintendi actually was a pleasure.
People
because he
love
gave you
that
a good
move because
that guy grinds you out. He grinds you out. They don't. Their whole lineup is just pathetic. They're not good hitters. They know how to hit mistakes. But that's not a major league hitter. A real major league hitter knows how to pick good pitching also, and their entire lineup really does not represent that, Tommy. You know that.
Yeah, to win in October, Mark, and I appreciate the call, you absolutely need that. But I'm just thinking back to some of the moves. I thought last year's deadline for Brian Cashman was very good. He was extremely active. He got Bednar. He got Caballero. He got Duvall, Bird, McMahon. The Yankees were extremely active. Like I said, Jazz a couple years ago, I don't know if you want to count that as a big swing and connect. Benintendi, it didn't pan out for him, but Benintendi fits the sort of model that our previous caller was talking about as a guy that puts it in play, can hit tougher pitching. It just didn't work out. Montas was a pretty big name, but Rizzo, Gallo. I'm just trying to go through some of the guys. I get what you're saying, but there aren't always a big star player out there either. You know, last year, when the Yankees were coming up on the deadline, the name that everybody was talking about, and I was the one that was against it, was Eugenio Suarez, who was obviously having a monster year. And I said, listen, Suarez is too similar to what you already have. A lot of home runs. A lot of strikeouts, doesn't hit good pitching. The Mariners ended up getting Suarez, and he was a disaster. He stunk, couldn't do anything. So the Yankees sort of dodged a bullet there, but that would have been, I think, in a lot of fans' minds, the idea of a big swing and a connection. And it would have, I think, ended horribly. Now, I guess he could have performed obviously better with the Yankees than he did in Seattle. It's certainly more advantageous to play in Yankee Stadium and the lineup that the Yankees have, although Seattle's lineup was good too. But Suarez was a huge swing and the miss for Seattle. It's not easy being Brian Cashman. It's not, as far as from the scrutiny. But one thing I know is for certain, the Yankees will be active. And the name you're going to hear for the big swing here, unless something else unforeseen comes about, which it could. I mean, we have a few weeks, but the name you're hearing already, and this would be a big swing in connection, but I wouldn't do it, and that's Skubal. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. I just think the strength of this team is their starting rotation. You're set with Schlittler, Fried, and Cole. You do have Warren. I know Weathers wasn't good tonight, but he has been overall good. Rodon is this, Rodon is that. He is an all-star caliber pitcher. And you could do a hell of a lot worse than him as a fourth guy in a postseason rotation or coming out of the bullpen. I know Skubal's great. I get it. But it would be a rental. You know, the Yankees would have to compete with other teams in the offseason to keep him. And I think you're already over the top in the rotation. It's about this lineup. I think our last caller just nailed it. It's about this lineup hitting good pitching consistently in October. And I think the Yankees have to bring in a catcher. I think they need to bring in another infielder. This is at the deadline. Some relievers. Like, they have a shopping list. And it's one of those things where it's like, your wife sends you shopping and you need these essentials for the party. Or you just need the essentials for the house, whatever the case may be, or the kids for school. And he comes back with all these donuts. And it's like, we don't need that stuff. Well, I wanted it. Well, we don't need it. We already have enough dessert. You brought cookies and cake and donuts, and you didn't get what I needed you to get. You didn't even get the orange juice that we needed, or whatever it is that you needed. The kids need a Dunkaroos for school, and you ended up getting Entenmann's cake. It has a display at the end of the aisle. So I would not go in the direction of Skubal. I just wouldn't. I think the Yankees have way bigger needs than that they should address, and Brian Cashman needs to address. And I think that's the route that Skubal is one of those things where if you looked around the American League and you said, hey, we're not good enough. We're not even good enough to represent our league in the World Series. We got to do something big here. Big to make a massive splash and put us over the top. Skubal would fit that bill. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. They are. The American League is dreadful. So, you don't need Skubal, first of all. So, I wouldn't give up those assets. And it's not in a situation where you're like, all right, we got to get over the top. Let's get Skubal. And in the National League, you have no idea who you're going to face. So, you could say, well, we're not better than this team or that. You have no idea who's getting out of the National League. You could assume, but you don't truly know. And you have to assume healthy, right? You can't assume someone's going to be hurt, but if you have everybody good to go, Schlittler, Fried, and Gerrit Cole, that is more than enough with your starting pitching to get you where you need to get to. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. I see a bunch of you on hold right now. If you're on hold, we will get to you immediately coming out of our hydration timeout here. I need a little bit of water, much like the World Cup. It's a hydration timeout. So we'll get to you. We'll get more into the Knicks coming up on the show. Basketball heavy in the final hour. Landry Shamet is coming back to the Knicks. Huck Porty could be on his way out. Mitchell Robinson could be on his way out. John Morant has a new home. The Warriors look like they're going to be courting LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the offseason, so there's some basketball news and notes as well that we'll cover in the final hour. But baseball here, Yankees, David Stearns, the Mets, all those things as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
1241 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Noogie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. You know, a lot has been said about what Eric Chavez had to say about the Mets, about David Stearns, about Juan Soto. Juan Soto was asked about those comments after the game today, and Juan Soto didn't want to comment on it. He took the high road. And what I would say about Chavez is you're talking about a guy here that was employed. Now he's no longer employed with the Mets, so you have to take a lot of what he said. Look, not suggesting anything, but, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. That's what I would say. You take it as somebody who is no longer here, and you can view your opinion on it however you want to view your opinion on it. It's certainly his word against someone else's, but I would take what he's saying with the in the back of my mind that Chavez is no longer here, and perhaps what he is saying is motivated by that. 8888, but Soto took the high road. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll continue your calls here on the Yankees and Mets. We'll open up the conversation to the basketball, to the Knicks next hour. Landry Shamet is back. Huck Porty sounds like he's out. Mitchell Robinson, it's been sounding like this for over a week now, is going to be out. John Morant has a new team, and the Warriors are interested in LeBron and Anthony Davis. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to Wood in the Bronx. What's up, Wood?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm trying to tell y'all, man. Y'all better get school because the Yankees is always built on pitching. Because I remember we had the greats in the when it comes to pitching as far as for the playoffs is concerned. Yeah. Y'all better get rid of the farm. I know y'all have to give up a lot of something. So y'all could give up the farm for school because I'm not worried about the hitting because we're going to come through. Cats are going to play for their contract. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not worried about the hitting.
I don't think the Yankees need Skubal. Or let me rephrase that. They have who couldn't use Skubal? But with their strength is their starting rotation. So they obviously have other needs, and that's where I would allocate resources
well,
to.
Why not have the cheat code, brother? Why not have the cheat code?
But you don't think, well, because you don't do it. You don't think you have a cheat code already with Schlittler, Freed, and Cole?
And we got to keep up with the Dodgers.
I understand that part. And if you want to say, hey, it'll block him from going to the Dodgers, or maybe that's another conversation. But
Yes. But
you're also talking about a thing. I don't think the Yankees are going to do this either. But it's more about I don't think they're going to do it, and also I don't think they should do it.
Wow, man. We're going to be knuckled out when it comes to the playoffs, man. I'm not worried about the hitting because you're going to have Judge back. You're going to have Stanton back. But you know what I mean? I'm not worried about their hitting because everybody's going to come around in the spring.
But you're worried about their starting pitching? With Schlittler, Freed, and Cole? But you're worried about their starting pitching, though?
I would put Cole coming out of the bullpen for the playoffs.
No,
for the playoffs, to have Cole coming out the bullpen would be great.
If you want to, listen, I mean, if you're playing video games, perhaps you have Gerrit Cole coming out of the bullpen. I would say this, Wood. You're a frequent caller, and I always appreciate the call. I think you're a little bit alone there in the sense that you are saying the hitting is going to be fine in October, and the pitching, I mean, you're a little bit backwards there. I think the pitching is going to be strong, and you worry about the offense in October. You don't worry about the offense in general with the Yankees. You don't worry about the offense in August or July. I guess in June you do, because they don't ever play well in June, the Yankees, but September you don't, but in October you worry about it. But the starting pitching, you definitely don't. You're not gonna have an issue with Freed and with Schlittler, and I mean you basically have your own Skubal right now with Cam Schlittler. I get it. You want to block him from going somewhere else, but you have other needs. I think you need a catcher. I think you need another infielder. You need relievers. Like, that should be the focus. That should be where your attention is. That's what your resources that you have. That's where you should be allocating them to get those positions of need filled. Pitching, starting pitching is not a need. So I would not go in that direction if I was Brian Cashman. And I don't think he will go in that direction. Nick is in Patchogue here on The Fan. What's up, Nick? Okay, Nick is, like I said, when I go to callers, sometimes they're busy, they're off doing something. I feel like I'm interrupting their life. I'm doing the show, we all know where I'm at. When I go to the caller, they may be doing something, they may be on the toilet, they may be dealing with something in their social life, so I don't want to take away what they're doing. Because I'm just sitting here. They might be off doing something else. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As far as the Knicks go, Landry Shamet back. Jose Alvarado back. Huck Porty, it sounds like he is going to be gone. Let me pull up the report here. I saw it on Twitter a few minutes ago. Just give me a few seconds on that. Shams retweeted it. I'll grab that in a second. But Huck Porty, basically, the Knicks didn't offer him a qualifying offer. So Huck Porty probably on his way out. Mitchell Robinson, I mean, you had multiple reporters, Bondi, Shams. They both said last week that Mitchell Robinson is likely going to be exiting New York. Now, hopefully he's not going to Boston. I will still hold out that the Knicks keep him. I want to see this team run it back as closely as humanly possible. Obviously with Diawara and Alvarado and Shamet, all those guys are returning. And Diawara's role on this team is obviously going to increase, and he showed a lot of promise. I mean, 20 years old, a rookie, he was awesome at times last year and really showed that he has a game that if it continues to get developed, he could become, I think, a starter in this league. That's how well I thought he looked. And that's how promising I thought he looked. But we're gonna find out about Mitch, and we're going to find out real soon. And I want this team to run it back as much as humanly possible to defend their crown and go back-to-back. And you got John Moran on the move. LeBron James could be going to Golden State. Giannis already went to Miami. The Celtics have to do something. Jaylen Brown probably on his way out. So there's going to be a lot of activity this summer. And the Knicks, all they have to do is bring that team back with the connectiveness, cohesion, with the chemistry, and it will lead to another championship. Let's go to Ron in Rockland County. What's up, Ron?
How you doing? Boy, you just took the words right out of my mouth. But let me just mention a couple of things to you. Ewing would not have gotten to the finals without Oakley. Okay? Clifford Ray of the San Francisco Warriors was the guy that made it possible for San Francisco with his rebounding. Okay, not a great shooter. Rebounding. He's a rebounding animal, 1975. Okay, and now you've got Ewing. Ewing is a force multiplier for guys like Towns.
You're saying Mitchell Robinson. I know what you meant there. Because you started off with Ewing, and then when you meant to say Mitchell Robinson, you went back to you. It's a simple mistake. You meant Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, there you go. And I did. But the thing is, like with Mitch, okay, he was like a force multiplier to me. Because the bottom line is, how many games do you think Towns would foul out? And how many wins do you think that they could muster with Towns sitting on the bench without a Mitchell Robinson?
Well, listen, Mitchell Robinson is a very unique player. There's not a lot of Mitchell Robinsons around the NBA. He is the best offensive rebounder, obviously the shot blocker. We know his deficiencies, but he brings a lot of things to the table, often an X factor. I get the injury stuff. I get that you kind of have to handle him with kid gloves, but I'm with you. I just wonder out loud, maybe this isn't a money thing with him. Could it be something else? I don't know. But with Mitch, I certainly would like to see him return. And it probably, and listen, maybe it is money. It's the second apron stuff, but I just, second apron be damned. I think we're talking about retaining players. The Knicks can get out of the second apron. Mm-hmm. It isn't sort of a sports death sentence for them if they get there like it would be for other teams. So it would suck to see Mitchell Robinson go. And then I wonder out loud now, and Leon I trust, but I wonder out loud what the backup plan would be, because they certainly didn't address that in the draft.
They sure didn't. They sure did. Well, the thing is, like Mitch, look, Mitch has endeared himself to the fan base, okay? And without him, okay, against San Antonio, without him, okay, they would not have won this.
Well, that offensive rebound he had was
that
huge.
Kind of presence.
Yeah, his presence. But listen, Cat was great defensively on Wemby as well. I personally think they probably would have won the championship without him. But still, I mean, Mitchell Robinson is a strong force in the middle. I mean, he what he does offensively in terms of rebounding, you're certainly going to miss. I hope they end up keeping him, but I'm just going to go off of what a lot of reporters who are very connected, whether it's Bondi, whether it's Shams, and they both had last week saying that Mitchell Robinson is going to be moving on, which would be unfortunate, but the writing feels like it's on the wall. I'll hold out hope that he stays, but especially when you hear the Shamet news, like it felt like it was going to be one or the other, especially if they don't want to get in the second apron. They obviously brought Shamet back on a four-year deal, which almost spells the end of Mitchell Robinson, unless James Dolan changes his mind or Leon Rose convinces him to go to the second apron.
Look, I'll tell you something, Lou. Here's the thing that was interesting to me. You know, I did voiceover for a number of years ago, and the agent said, you got a great voice, but I got one of you. Okay, so the thing is, so I love Shamit. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought it was fantastic. Okay, but you had Deuce McBride. You had one.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, not as good.
Because I don't know, if Deuce is going to be around. They might trade him.
And that's probably, well, there you go. But the thing is,
if you trade Deuce, you could move some space money wise to keep Mitch. That there is a possibility there, and obviously Huck Porty seems like he's out of here. So you could trade Deuce, and that could open up some money. Look, I'm not saying that Mitchell Robinson, it's a foregone conclusion he's going to be gone, but I think the Knicks, unless they go to the second apron, are going to have to do things and get rid of guys in order to clear up space.
I can't wait another 53 years, pal.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I know. Ron, were you the one that called me about the... Was this the conversation we had where you thought the Rangers mismanaged their team in the 90s and that's why they haven't won a cup? Was that you or was that somebody else?
No, it was somebody else. Okay, but, Ron. You know, I could go there.
Because he made the point of the gap as well with the Rangers obviously having gone, what was it, like 54 years, and then now they haven't won a cup since 94. The Knicks are in... this is what I would say to any Knicks, because I even... My dear friend and a friend of the station, a friend of the program, Kerry in Sayreville, who you know I adore. Kerry, we just won a championship. And I'm tweeting about Shamit and GTA, and I'm all excited. And she hits me up that, I mean, this is just peak Kerry. Let me see if I can find it. She goes, should have kept Shamit at 2 years with an option. I mean, Kerry, can you trust the organization in the front office, please? I mean, Leon Rose took the Knicks from... basically a franchise that was an expansion team when you consider what they were working with and turned them into a champion. I trust Leon Rose. And whatever obstacle is being thrown in his way, look, it's, for all we know, Leon Rose agrees with it, not going into the second apron. He could agree with it. I have no idea. We're not going to find out because Leon Rose is not going to meet the media. So for all we know, he does. Maybe somebody could do some digging, reporting. But even there, you know, we might not find out. And if there has been some reporting on it, it's news to me. So if you know about it, let me know. But Leon Rose knows what he's doing. I mean, has there ever been a more obvious statement said on this radio station? So I trust him with everything he's doing. And like I said, they could deal some players in order to make room for Mitch. Now, Mitchell Robinson can also just be blown away with an offer. The Celtics are desperate. Mitchell Robinson brings a lot of things to the table, a lot of unique things to the table that make him an attractive free agent. So it's possible that Mitchell Robinson's price tag just gets so high that even if the Knicks move some things around, you know, they add some flexibility to their cap, Mitch could still be gone. And I think that's obviously a reality that could come to fruition. But certainly everything the Knicks have done so far leads you to think they're going to stay under the second apron, including what they did in the draft as far as getting out of the first round and just the strategy that they implemented in both nights of the draft made you think second apron. Now, obviously, the second apron stuff only went into the atmosphere because of James Dolan saying it on our radio station, where I don't even think it would be it would be one of those things where, I'm telling you, Evan would have mentioned it in passing on his show. Like a 90 second in passing, and then everybody would have forgotten about it. But it's sort of on the tip of our tongues now because it was put out there. Which, I mean, literally the night of the parade, I was taking calls about the second apron. The night before the parade, I was taking calls about the second apron, and I was like, okay, we're gonna have a parade tomorrow. We just had a parade. I understand the frustrations about it. We certainly have plenty of time to talk about it, including now. I was trying to punt it to later on because that was a night and week of celebration, and I thought a weekend of celebration. Even Tiki asked me that at the parade. He goes, "Where are you at with the off season? Like, how long will you celebrate this championship, and then will you start thinking about the off season?" I said, "All right, probably tomorrow." This was Thursday, obviously. I was like, "Probably tomorrow." You know, no later than Monday. And he was like, really? Well, Teak, I mean, the draft is next week. Free agency starts right after that. Like, when you win the championship and you have the parade, the offseason comes super quick. So I don't have time to sit around, and as much as I'm still happy about it and celebrating it, now more work needs to be done. More work needs to be done. So far, I love everything I've seen. My slight nitpick, but it's because it was strategy and not, I think, incompetence, was there were players I liked at the back end of the first round of the draft that I would have really, really, really been giddy about the Knicks drafting. But the Knicks were never going to do that based on their plans to stay below the second apron. So I can't even really say anything about it because they didn't pass on those players. They just were passing on any player in the first round. They were never going to select anybody there because of the money. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the number to join the conversation. If you are on hold, we will get to you. The final hour will be pretty basketball heavy, but still baseball, Yankees, Mets. 90 minutes, or not 90 minutes, 60 minutes to go here until Allison Tron comes your way at 2 a.m. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night. It is After Hours here on The Fan.
Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you. For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime. With experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue. To learn more.